Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When first reading through this text this morning in preparation for this homily, I thought of Dr. Fikincher. Is it law or is it gospel? And there are thoughts both ways. One, it's law. If you're living in any of the sins listed here and not realizing or not wanting to realize it. Gospel, if the law has had its way with you and has beaten you down and you need so desperately the medicine of immortality. So then, perhaps it depends on the needs of the hearer, but not necessarily the felt needs. But in reality, it is both law and gospel. Whether we need to realize our sin or, in repentance, realize that Jesus has died for our sins and that we have been forgiven. The text also reminded me quite nicely of Dr. Scarer's fine homily last week. There, he confessed before a chapel full of mostly men that the toolbox in his garage had his wife's name on it, and that she was more adept at using the tools than he is. It was a bold, but yet a very soul-cleansing confession. There's a toolbox in my garage as well, and it has my name on it. And I even know how to use the tools that are in that box. But the question is, do I always make use of, or do I even remember that I have those tools? And here is the connection to the text before us this morning. Did the folks at Corinth, do we use or even acknowledge the tools in our possession? First, we must look at the Corinthians and perhaps what we might call their toolbox. Corinthians were an interesting people, a very interesting city. They wanted the best of both worlds. They wanted both the fleshly and the spiritual. They wanted to be Christians, but they didn't want to have to give up their former lifestyle. They seemed to think that they could live life as they desired. Then they could simply go to church and ask for forgiveness, or simply believe that the fleshly nature had nothing to do with the spiritual nature. Evidently, they had not heard the message that St. Paul had passed on to the Christians at Rome. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And that was the Corinthians' problem. They had made a decision for Jesus, and now that they were saved, they had nothing to worry about. In their minds, they could sin boldly, because they had a tool of forgiveness. But perhaps they had forgotten the use of that tool, or who gave it to them. Perhaps they had forgotten what they had been given to deal with the fleshly desires in their lives. And thus, St. Paul reminds them in the lesson today, after listing all of those sins of the flesh, and such were some of you, But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. But I think the question here has to be asked, was St. Paul being nice to the Corinthians? Was he commending their behavior and what they were doing? Or was he smacking them upside the head with a 2x4 of sarcasm, reminding them that they were indeed washed and they need not live in the lifestyles that they were continuing to live in, telling them that you can't have it both ways? I tend to side with that latter view. And that means that St. Paul was pretty hard on these folks, on these Corinthians. And I guess they really needed to hear the law. They needed to hear it hard. And that makes me even more glad that here at the seminary, we don't have to worry about such things. Or do we? Let's see what's in our box. The seminary is an interesting community as well, but certainly not like Corinth. We have chapel 3 or 4 times a day. We have the sacrament of the altar once a week. We have individual absolution. What a community we are. And we're not adulterers. We're not men who practice homosexuality. We're not sexually immoral. Well, unless you count that time when, well, we're not idolaters, certainly. Unless you count that time that I worshiped at St. Sheets Upon the Mattress with Pastor Pillow, rather than gladly going into the house of the Lord. And that's our problem. We often forget our sins rather than confess them and receive holy absolution. And then Satan brings those back to life. And it drives us to despair and perhaps even deeper, that is, more sin. We have forgotten the tools that we have been given to deal with those accusations brought before us, those temptations put before us. Even as Christians, sin will numb us to the point where we need to be whacked upside the head with St. Paul's 2x4 and be reminded of our situation. We see the cross so often, but now perhaps it's just a pretty piece of jewelry rather than the tree of life. Thus, let's look into God's toolbox. There we hear the rest of St. Paul's thoughts in the early part of Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Into his death on the cross? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, we were washed. We put on Christ. We put on the full armor of God, as St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. The old Adam in us is daily drowned, and the new man arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. We were sanctified, that is, we were set apart for holy use, that use to serve the Almighty God. And by that washing, we were cleansed to do just that. We were justified. We were declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. tomorrow, we will have the opportunity to approach this altar, to receive that very body and blood that makes our robes as white as snow. There is another one of God's gifts. Perhaps we might say another one of His tools, given for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. God's gifts, God's tools are always there for us to partake of, especially when the old evil foe means us deadly woe. Whether that woe comes with sins of commission, whether they come with sins of omission, whether the old evil foe sends us that woe through a temptation or through a recollection of a past sin, those gifts are there. They will always be there. As we confessed in the hymn before the sermon, Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. There is nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort, sure. Open-eyed, my grave is staring. Even there, I'll sleep secure. Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise. Thanks be to God, and to Him be the glory forever. Amen.